The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Thursday, August 1st, 2013, and presidential release number 419. I begin the presidential release with the sad news that Jim Antonacci's father died in the last few days. You might keep Jim Antonacci, who is president of our affiliate in Pennsylvania, the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania, and has been a long, long time member and leader of our federation, and his dad in mind. They were very close, and it is sad to have to report his death. Betty Capps has been sick for some time. She was in the hospital the other day because of troubles in her digestive area. I am delighted to be able to tell you that Betty Capps, who is a grand lady in the Federation and one of our primary leaders in the Federation, who is married to Don Capps, who is a doctor of the Federation, as you might say. Don and Betty Capps have been together and leading in the Federation since the 1950s. Betty Capps has been through an operation as of yesterday. The operation was very successful, says Dr. Capps, and we are looking forward to a complete and speedy recovery for Betty. You might keep the Capses in your prayers also. Back in 2007, Charlie Brown, who has had a long and distinguished career in government service, he is a lawyer, he came to work for us on a part-time basis. He is a lawyer, and he was providing legal service, especially advice to the president of the National Federation of the Blind. He started this, as I say, in 2007, although he's willing to give advice, even if he hadn't been working with us directly or on a fairly regular basis. And he is ceasing this service as of today. Now, Charlie has been helping with managing finance and legal questions that members ask, finance for affiliates primarily. And here for a word about what he has been doing and what he hopes to accomplish in the next little while is the one-time treasurer, our board member at one time, our president in our affiliate in Virginia, and our good buddy and friend. Here's Charlie Brown.
Well, as I reach the end of my professional work life here at the National Center for the Blind, I look back at the many opportunities I've had within the Federation that Dr. Maurer went through. But to be able to use my legal education and life experience to help the NFB in many ways has been a real joy for me. And certainly I had never expected to do this as a job. So in many respects, not much is going to change while I am, quote, retiring, unquote. I expect to be very active in the National Federation of the Blind, both in my home state of Virginia and in any other way that I can be helpful. It's what I've always wanted to be ever since I joined the movement in the 1970s, and I hope that'll continue. It'll just be a little less structured now, but it certainly will be as important to me as it ever has been. And I just want to thank Dr. Maurer for the opportunity to work with him and for the opportunity to work with so many other great members of our national staff here at the National Center for the Blind. So while I'm retiring, I am not going away, and look forward to seeing many of you in the months and years to come.
Thanks, Charlie. I first met Charlie when I was national representative to our Virginia convention, and I believe it was the 1970s late. I don't think it was as far along as the 1980s. I do think it was the 1970s, and Charlie was a gracious man. I know by that time he was already a distinguished lawyer, and I was a little nervous to meet him, but it was not hard to meet him. It was easy to meet him because he was such a good guy and such a gracious man and such a magnificent leader. And I came to be fast friends with him at that convention, and it has lasted for all these years. It's been delightful to work with you, Charlie, and I look forward to the work we're going to do in upcoming months and years, even though we won't do it in quite the same way, quite as regularly as in the past. Now, we got back from the National Convention, as you know, and very often we think that there's a time of some relaxation in July and maybe some in August. However, we found that the folks who are in the Senate of the United States have been trying to get through some legislation which has matter in it dealing with sub-minimum wages and giving authority to pay clients in the rehabilitation system sub-minimum wages. This is the Workforce Investment Act, which has within it elements that are the Rehabilitation Act. The person who has been leading the charge to eliminate sub-minimum wage authorization in American law for us on Capitol Hill is Anil Lewis. He also is a Federationist of some decades now. I believe that he came into the Federation in the early 1990s, so decades is the right word. Here to talk about the Workforce Investment Act, the activities of the members of a committee in the Senate, and our representative on Capitol Hill, here's Anil Lewis.
Thank you, Dr. Maurer. It has indeed been decades, and I hope to continue working for the Federation for more decades, hopefully leaving a tremendous legacy like Charlie Brown in his wake of employment here at the National Center. The Workforce Investment Act Reauthorization, Senate Bill 1356, was passed on Wednesday, July 31st. The Senate Help Committee met, spoke for approximately 30 minutes, and passed legislation that could potentially sabotage the entire Rehabilitation Act. In Title V of the Workforce Investment Act, which is the Rehabilitation Act, there's a section, Section 511, which authorizes the use of subminimum wage payments for training and employment of people with disabilities. We have been fighting the good fight for the elimination of the Section 14C provision, and we will continue that fight. It is unfortunate that we have not been able to get the support that we need from the Senate Help Committee. Many would think that the passage of this legislation was a bad thing. Not necessarily so. Because the Senate Help Committee saw fit to pass this piece of legislation and bring it to the floor of the U.S. Senate, we're able now to bring our debate over the payment of subminimum wages to people with disabilities to the entire Senate floor. So we're encouraging each and every one of our affiliates to take advantage of the August recess. Your senators will be back at home during the month of August. We want you to meet with them. When you meet with them, talk to them about Section 511. Additionally, talk to them about the transfer of the Rehabilitation Services Administration from the Department of Education to the Department of Labor. I'll be distributing a sample template letter to all affiliate presidents so that you can make your request immediately to make sure you take advantage of the time that they'll be at home to meet with them and speak with them directly on this issue. We will also be providing some talking points for you to use in your discussion with your senators. In order for us to be successful, we have to mobilize the force that is the Federation. We have to engage these U.S. senators in a way that makes them understand that we are serious about our efforts to advocate for the phase-out and repeal of Section 14C. So here again, Senator Harkin's legacy, because he will soon be leaving the U.S. Senate, can either be one where he institutionalizes the use of Section 14C in the Rehabilitation Act, or we can help him create a better legacy for himself by removing 511 and repealing Section 14C. It's time to get to work, Federation. This is what we're best at. Let's prove to the world that the voices of the blind will be heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Anil. I appreciate those charges to us to get at it and make sure that the subminimum wage provisions that are in federal law, both those in the Fair Labor Standards Act, Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act, which was adopted in 1938, and the proposed one in Section 511 of the Workforce Investment Act that is currently before the Senate, are repealed. Anil said that the bill had been passed. He means that it was considered by a committee of the Senate. He called it the HELP Committee. It's the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. The name of this committee was structured so that they can call it the HELP Committee. If you think that putting subminimum wage provisions into the Rehabilitation Act helps anybody, then it seems to me that you got the wrong aspect of this thing. I certainly don't think it helps a single soul. I think calling it the HELP Committee is one of the most insulting things that you can imagine, because the help that these members of the Senate are offering to us is help to ensure that we never get beyond the subminimum wage provisions, that we're always faced with the reality that legalized discrimination is what blind and disabled people in America can expect, and that kind of help we can do without. Senator Harkin has refused to get on our bill that would eliminate subminimum wages. He has insisted that there be a provision in the Rehabilitation Act that authorizes people in the rehabilitation system to put subminimum wage in as a factor that is possible for disabled and blind people to get as part of their rehabilitation, which means that they get to be recognized as people who are supposedly at work, even though subminimum wage is what they get. It seems to me that we have to get busy immediately, and we have to challenge this system, and we have to say to the members of the Senate, we're not having it, and we want you to be with us. Equality should mean something besides subminimum wage. As I have said to a number of my colleagues in the last little while, we have evidence that disabled Americans are being paid 22 cents an hour. If we spend $3 billion a year on rehabilitation, which we do, of federal money every single year, is 22 cents an hour to the workers who get this rehabilitation, is that what you call a good deal? Is that a great expenditure of federal money? I know, and you know, that this is ridiculous, and those who have so little faith in disabled people that they're willing to give us subminimum wages had better think again, and we've got to make the members of the Senate know it. Now I have an announcement here. It comes from Mark Riccobono, and it says, October is coming soon, and October is Meet the Blind Month. This year we are putting together challenges. The first one involves fundraising. Our nationwide fundraising goal is $62,403. That comes to be a couple of $1,000 a day. Affiliates and chapters will be asked to pick a team name and a pledge commitment toward our fundraising goal. The second challenge is to see which affiliate can generate the most community involvement during an event in Meet the Blind Month. This will be determined based upon a point system, which will be outlined in the 2013 campaign guidelines. Each event hosted by an affiliate or a chapter that meets the challenge's point system eligibility will earn one entry into a drawing for a prize. Further details about Meet the Blind Month, including fundraising and the point challenge details, will be distributed to affiliate and chapter presidents very soon. Please send questions about Meet the Blind Month to Ilana Posner. She is this year's coordinator. You can reach her by telephone at 410-659-9314, extension 2283, or by email at iposner@nfb.org. Are you ready to make a pledge and change what it means to be blind? This is a message from Mark Riccobono, and I endorse it heartily. Here's another message, also from Mark Riccobono. The National Federation of the Blind is currently examining our branding and marketing efforts in order to establish a more effective plan to communicate our message to the public. In early September, we will be asking Federation members to complete a brief online survey as part of our information gathering for our branding quest. Please be prepared to take a few minutes to complete the survey during the first week of September. It would also be helpful if people in chapters who have members that are not on the internet can help those who don't have internet access to complete the survey. We have a short window to gather information on the online survey, and we would like to get as many responses from members of the Federation as we can during the first week of September. So please check in on the website and make sure that you fill out the online survey that has to do with our branding. Also, I should mention that we are conducting an online auction. Michelle Chacon of Colorado is managing this for us at 303-456-9000. Michelle wants to make sure that every affiliate has some kind of a prize to sell during the online auction, which happens around the Thanksgiving time. So if you can provide a thing to sell on the online auction having to do with your state, your affiliate, please get a hold of Michelle and let her know. The person managing this on our staff here is also Ilana Posner, and you have her contact information already. So get a hold of Michelle or get a hold of Ilana, and let's make sure that every affiliate is represented in our online auction. This week, we are conducting our Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math class for 2013. We call it STEMX, and STEMX brought about 50 students here who are high school age and a whole bunch of teachers, and we're teaching things like mathematics and engineering, and we're also teaching something about getting into space, and we're talking about chemistry, and it's a delightful time. I've met a bunch of the kids. They are at Towson University today, and they have been a number of other days. They'll be here at the National Federation of the Blind on Friday. It is a splendid time to learn all kinds of exciting things about the kind of science that lots of people might like to know. Many blind people are told you can't do science because you're a blind person. And here we are changing what it means to be blind with a whole bunch of students in our STEMX 2013 program. This brings me to the end of the presidential release, and I have a few of the endings. Terry Uttermolen of Baltimore, Maryland says, "A duck was standing on the curbstone looking across the street when a chicken yelled to him, 'Don't do it, buddy, you will never hear the end of it.'" Dick Davis of Minnesota says, "What is the longest sentence in the English language? 'I now pronounce you husband and wife.'" Johnny Ott, also of Minnesota, says, "What is a loving couple's favorite flower? Tulips."
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.